Blog Talk Radio. Changing Direction Radio with Michelle Rosenthal is sponsored by Timberline Knolls Residential Treatment Center.
So I have with me today a woman that I have been watching and admiring from afar, and we have even actually excerpted some of her terrific insights about complex PTSD on the HealMyPTSD.com website, Compliments of Gift from Within. And I have her live and in person today, my guest, Dr. Christine Courtois. Welcome to Changing Direction Radio.
Thank you so much. I'm so glad to be with you and to learn about your resources.
Oh, thank you. You know, my whole passion is to bring information to trauma survivors. I feel that one of the things that holds us back in recovery is that we just don't know what we don't know, and we don't know how to get it. And I know in my own trauma recovery, my trauma was in 1981, it took 24 years for me to even be diagnosed with PTSD because I kept bouncing around but didn't really know what the problem was. So I'm so excited to have you here today because I get questions all the time about complex trauma and complex PTSD. And I want to, you and I together, really get a working definition for both of those things and a model for treatment so that we can once and for all have some really solid advice and insight. So Dr. Christine Courtois, let's start with a definition of what is complex trauma?
Well, complex trauma is generally interpersonal trauma that usually begins in childhood and often within the family. But it involves someone known or related to the child and who has access to the child. It also can be the type of trauma that begins early in life where there's not a good attunement with parents or there's insecure attachment. And so when children don't have basic security, and then that creates conditions where they're more easily taken advantage of or abused. And so what we see is patterns of layered trauma. And then if there's no one that intervenes, what will happen is the abuse of the trauma will be repeated and it will be progressive. And all of those things are dimensions of complex trauma. So it's interpersonal. It's often within the family. It's often from a young age. It's repeated. It escalates over time, unfortunately. It involves what we're now calling betrayal trauma, which is a specific form of trauma where other people are involved in betraying their role or their relationship. And also, at times, people who should be doing something or responding or institutions that should be responding might also be traumatizing. So you can see where the term complex comes from. And that's only at the child level. We also know that there are other forms of complex trauma, any kind of trauma that's prolonged or that occurs repeatedly. At whatever point in the lifespan can be also understood to be complex trauma.
So, Dr. Courtois, just to clarify a little bit, prolonged trauma meaning what, over a period of days or over a period of weeks or years? Is there a strict diagnostic definition for the length of time?
No, by prolonged, I mean that it happens, it's repetitive. And in some cases, unfortunately, it repeats just a few times. But in most cases, prolonged means it goes on for quite a long period of time, and that can be years. And for some unfortunate folks, we know that their traumatization is recurrent and never ending.
Right.
So those would be forms of complex trauma, too. But another major dimension is that when trauma occurs during childhood, during the course of childhood, it has developmental impact on the individual, on the individual's child's and physiology. So that's another way to understand complex trauma is complex developmental trauma.
And in those cases, I want to get back to complex trauma and where it leads to, but just to sidestep for a second there, when we're talking about complex developmental trauma, how often do you see people recover from that? Because I know that from 0 to 24, roughly, the brain is constantly changing and evolving, and so the experiences that we have during those times can dramatically alter brain function and how it develops itself. I'm wondering how often you see complex developmental trauma in the recovery process actually be able to reverse some of the damage that's done. Is that something that happens?
Absolutely. And, you know, you talked about your passion. This is where my passion lies. And that is that, and we now know this from brain studies, that, you know, there's something called neuroplasticity, and that is that the brain, even though it can be, you know, some of the development can be derailed, it also can be transformed, and the brain transforms throughout life. So what we're aiming for is through the treatment relationship and through other relationships, we're aiming for to help the individual to have a different experience and a different way of being in the world, which is essentially what you talk about with your program. Like what you've described with your own trauma, many of the individuals that I work with have spent a long time not knowing what was going on with them and not being looked at as a whole person. And from a perspective of, and I use this mindfully, but, you know, diagnostically, they're often looked at the, you know, for their different symptoms and not as a whole and not looking at all their symptoms holistically. And so complex trauma and complex PTSD is a way to identify that all of these various dimensions that many individuals experience are part of a whole and can be treated as part of a whole.
Perfect. And so you brought up complex PTSD. Let's, before we move forward, get a working definition for that. How would you define or describe complex PTSD?
Well, a very colloquial definition is PTSD plus, which is it above and beyond what are now recognized as the standard or classic symptoms of PTSD. And those would include re-experiencing symptoms or numbing symptoms or avoidance or hyperarousal. But because this is often much more developmental, complex PTSD involves the ability to regulate oneself and one's own emotions, self-esteem and self-worth, relationships with other people, dissociation, and also physical and somatic as well as medical manifestations. So it is above and beyond what we understand as the most classic manifestations of PTSD.
Thank you. That was so concise and so easy to understand. So basically, complex PTSD is the beginning base of classic PTSD symptoms of re-experiencing, numbing, avoidance, and hyperarousal put together with a change in how you regulate your emotions, a lot of dissociation, physical manifestations, and all the other things that you said. So it's a combination,
right,
all together.
Right. Now, to take that simple explanation and make it a little bit more complex, no pun intended, in the diagnostic manuals for when somebody seeks mental health services, there is no formal complex PTSD diagnosis. It gets subsumed under PTSD. We're still working to have it reach a level of its own diagnosis. So you can't be diagnosed formally with PTSD for complex PTSD for insurance purposes, but you can be diagnosed with PTSD, and there's a new subtype called dissociative subtype. which is more akin to complex PTSD.
Okay.
So,
that makes a lot of sense, because back when I was searching for what was wrong with me and finally diagnosed with PTSD, nobody mentioned complex PTSD to me. But
mm-hmm.
the definition you just gave us describes who I was and what I was doing for all those years, and I have a thick medical file, you
yes.
know, related
yes.
to all that stuff. So you're enlightening me even now that in all this time I've been thinking I had just PTSD because that's what I was
mm-hmm.
told, but really, you know, and I'm not saying you're diagnosing me over the air, but I am
mm-hmm.
feeling illuminated in terms of why things were just so all over the place for me. And
uh-huh.
and I think it's always interesting to, you know, have little tidbits that we can then further research later.
Right,
so,
right. Well, you know, I'd like to mention something here that also another area of mine is I'm really interested and have been interested in educating survivors. But in particular, my work has been focused on educating therapists and other medical professionals, because what has happened is medical professionals in my generation and unfortunately even today do not get any education in psychological trauma as part of their curriculum. So when they're faced with somebody who's been traumatized, they often, you know, stick to what they know and what they've been trained and or fly by the seat of their pants trying to treat the trauma when they haven't had any education. So we're working very hard on trying to get a lot more education into professional curriculum for all mental health and medical personnel to ask about histories of trauma when they start doing whatever their workup is as part of their assessment. It just is a standard question.
That is such important work, and I'll share with you on a personal note why I'm so excited to hear you say that. I was working with a therapist on and off for 8 years who thought he was helping me with my trauma but did not ever recognize what was really going on. And when I finally started researching myself, because I was getting worse instead of better, and I started researching and I came across a PTSD self-test, and, you know, they have like 22 questions, and I answered positively to 20. And I
mm-hmm.
trotted myself to therapy with my test, and I said, "Do you think I have PTSD?" And he said to me, "What is PTSD?" And I thought, I need a new therapist. I'm all by myself here. And I went in, and it was then that I started to realize there are trauma-trained therapists, which are very different and, you know, more highly educated in terms of helping us than a regular psychologist, which is who I'd been working with. So I'm excited to hear you say that, because all of the doctors and specialists that I saw for all of my physical problems, which ended up, you know, spontaneously healing as my PTSD was overcome, they could have, you know, they, what you're saying is they could have really helped put me in the right direction if they knew or they understood. So that's important work you're doing.
Thank you. Even if they themselves, you know, can't treat or don't choose to treat, at least they'd have a direction. And there's a new initiative, and I'm sure you've heard about this. It's about, I guess, 15 or 20 years old now, but it seems to be really catching a lot more interest, and it's called trauma-informed care.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the recognition right from the start that the majority of folks who are in mental health treatment have a history of trauma of one sort or another, not just complex, but all kinds of trauma. And trauma is very intimately related to mental health problems if it's gone untreated or untended. And so trauma-informed care is care that takes that into account and also really puts the onus on the clinician to ask about the history and to try to make the connection rather than leave it free-floating. And I want to be clear that not everybody has a history of trauma, but everybody in the mental health system, you know, the majority of them have a history of trauma that has gone either unrecognized or untreated.
My guest today is Dr. Christine Courtois. You can find out more about her at drchriscourtois.com, and that is ChrisCourtois with a DR in front of it, drchriscourtois.com. Now, Dr. Courtois, let's keep going. We've given a very succinct and very clear definition of what is complex trauma and then what is complex PTSD. Let's start talking about the signs of complex trauma and PTSD. I know we talked a little bit about symptoms, but sometimes those are different than signs. For somebody on the outside watching or for someone on the inside feeling like, I just don't know how to describe this, what would you say are some signs of complex trauma and or PTSD that someone could recognize from our conversation and say, ooh, I need to do more research. I need to ask someone about this and see if it applies to me. What do you look for when you're working with someone?
Well, generally, people who have PTSD are driven by predominantly fear reactions, so that they may, you know, have reactions that are out of sync to the context they're in, because the context may be a reminder of their trauma. And, you know, if you put someone who has PTSD next to someone who doesn't, and you face them with the same stressor, the person with PTSD is going to likely be a lot more responsive in terms of either a fear response of flashbacks or, you know, hypervigilance, or they're going to close down and dissociate. So if you start seeing those kind of fear responses or atypical responses, that would be one way to know. But one of the things that I wanted to mention in particular is that for some people, normal everyday functioning may serve as a way to keep their symptoms at bay and a way that they, you know, just keep going. And nothing may show for a period of time. They may be what's called asymptomatic, or it only may come up periodically in response to particular triggers, sort of events or triggers. What I often see is that then we have what's called a delayed expression or delayed onset of PTSD. And when that happens, people may start to have very florid symptoms, a lot of depression, a lot of anxiety, a lot of flashbacks or other kinds of unusual responses to them that seemingly come out of the blue. And a lot of these folks will come into my office saying, you got to help me, I'm absolutely crazy. And when that happens, I go looking for what are the things that might have happened in the past, in the immediate past or more distant past, that would have triggered off this kind of response. And that's where it's not unusual to find that, you know, they have been triggered, and what's happening is a delayed expression of what's been there all along. So in answer to your previous question, sometimes, you know, not much is going to show. But at other times, you may have someone who has suffered a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression. They may be fearful of relationships, fearful of, you know, asserting themselves. A lot of fear and shame is very characteristic.
Now, let's talk about your book, Treatment of Complex Trauma, a Sequenced Relationship-Based Approach. And really, what I want to talk about is, how do we overcome all of this?
Uh-huh.
So I know from personal experience that it is possible to, you know, go almost three mm-hmm. decades with PTSD and then come out the other side, and I've been symptom-free for years and really just so grateful. So
that's
I know
great.
That it's possible, right? Because so often
that's a great testimonial, right?
It is. It is. And yet, you know, Dr. Courtois, I meet so many healing professionals who say you can't overcome PTSD. It can't be healed. You just have to learn to live with it, and here are some medications to help you do that. So I want to ask you first, what do you feel is possible in PTSD recovery?
Well, I'm going to hedge the question a little bit. Because I think healing is a very individualized kind of circumstance, and so is traumatization. So not everybody's going to have the same experience. It's very, very unique, and I think healing is the same way. So some folks are going to heal to a greater or lesser degree than others, which doesn't mean that they're a failure. It just means that different people have different outcomes. But what you'd hope for at the least is exactly what you described, that symptoms would start to remit and go away and not be so bad or not be so irksome, and that there would be other things that are, you know, areas of focus or areas of interest in the individual's life, and they wouldn't be so captured by, you know, what has happened in the past. Even with processing, it doesn't mean that the memories of the trauma are going to go away. But what healing refers to is that the individual isn't so caught up in the automatic or being in a state of fear as they you know, started with.
Right. And I also like to think that we are going to remember, unless, I don't know, if you've been looking at the science of the things that are coming out that could, you know, eradicate unwanted memories,
uh-huh.
or
uh-huh.
and I'm very against all that. I think our memories inform who we are, and so the
uh-huh.
goal to me is to be able to remember them, but without the emotional charge that they
right.
once had.
Right, and maybe someday, you know, actually medication will help with that in a different way. I mean, what I like to say is this is a new frontier, and you know, things that I was teaching 10 years ago are different today than they were, and I think it's going to continue to develop so that we find new ways and new things that are helpful. But I think you're right that, you know, an individual's memories are, you know, it's part of who we are.
It is, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, although the memories can be painful, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I feel
yeah.
so much that at the crux of recovery is the idea of identity, of reframing who we are from a trauma survivor identity to a sort of post-trauma identity where
uh-huh.
we're more than just our survivor self, and that's a hard journey
well,
to make.
I wanted to pick up on that too. I'm glad you brought that up, Michelle, and that is that for healing for many survivors of complex trauma is also healing their sense of self and their sense of self-worth. It's still shocking to me. I've been in this field for many years, and it's shocking to me how negatively abuse survivors view themselves constantly. And yet they really, on the basis of how they were treated, they've incorporated, you know, who they must be, and it must be somebody bad to have those things happen to them. And so a major part of the healing process is to address those self-cognitions and those beliefs about self and other people, and to correct them, because there's often a great sense of blame and self-blame and shame, and a feeling like everybody is dangerous, and those are very, very limiting perspectives. And so opening those up, understanding why things happened and understanding it above and beyond, you know, a sense of responsibility or self-blame is, I think, essential to the healing process.
I love hearing that, and I so wish that I had known you when I was struggling, because I think that would have really spoken to me. I kept all these copious journals throughout all of my PTSD years, and if you open any of them, when you page through, it's the same question over and over and over, who am I, who am I, who am I,
mm-hmm.
who am I?
Mm-hmm.
Because my self-definition was so just decimated by the trauma, and then that was sort of built
yeah,
upon by the belief that I had that I didn't deserve to survive. So
mm-hmm.
you put all that together, and my sense of self and my self-esteem was pretty much sub-zero. I could have used your
mm-hmm.
input
uh-huh.
and your book,
mm-hmm.
Treatment of
yeah.
Complex Trauma. So let's talk about that. Your book's title is Treatment of Complex Trauma, A Sequenced Relationship-Based Approach. What does that title mean in terms of the content of the book? If someone were looking at the book on the shelf and saying, is this book going to speak to me, what would it say?
Okay. Well, this book, first of all, was written for therapists, but certainly it can help survivors. So I've had some folks read it already and say, you know, it's pretty technical, and it was developed to be technical. But basically, the main message is that healing occurs in phases. And with people with complex trauma, because they may have had these developmental impacts, and don't have a good idea of how to regulate themselves and may have a lot of problems in their life as a result of that, that the first stage of treatment, once the trauma is identified and treatment goals are set, is to establish safety and the ability to self-regulate, which means the ability to feel your feelings and be mindful about them and know how to control them rather than just be emoting all over the place. And then only after a lot of education is in the first phase also, and a lot of skill building. And it's as the individual gets those things sort of under their belt that then they move on to do more direct work with the trauma. And that can be done in a variety of different ways. But basically the idea is instead of avoiding the trauma and the emotions associated with it, that it helps to really talk about it and it helps to work it through. One of the ways that the symptoms start to abate. And so, but the individual has to have some capacity to have intense emotions before facing that. And as we talk about PTSD, what's been identified is for a lot of people, it really is a disorder of avoidance. And so the second part of our title, relationship-based approach, is that the treatment relationship ought to be one that is very consistent, very reliable, and that the person in treatment really feels like the therapist is there with them and is trustworthy and is assisting them as they go through facing rather than avoiding the trauma. So the relationship, we believe, is the key component. And one of my friends put it this way, it's relational healing for relational injury. Because what we see, as I started with finding complex trauma, you'll remember that I mentioned that it's interpersonal. It means that other people committed it, other people did it. And so the way back, to heal from that kind of injury is to really have a sustaining, trustworthy relationship with a helper or other people in your life.
I'm listening to all of this, and I'm thinking, what a great and powerful way to approach recovery. I like the idea of phases, and I'll tell you why, because I know I was guilty of this, and I work with clients myself, and we're always talking about the need to slow down. And In my own recovery, I wanted it done, like yesterday. And so I would go whole hog and slam into a wall just because I couldn't handle all the stuff at once. And I your approach.
It's interesting that you say that, because I used to run an inpatient program for adult survivors, and one of the mottos we had was make haste slowly, because it's very understandable that anybody who's plagued with post-traumatic reactions want them over with. That I think it's very important to empathize with that. However, it's also important for the therapist or the helper to function as a guide. And the best guidance we can give is to not overpower yourself and to build what's called a window of tolerance of the emotions that you have that builds gradually. It doesn't build automatically.
And I think that's a difficult thing to do, but I like the idea presented in Treatment of Complex Trauma, a sequenced relationship-based approach. I like the idea of having someone that you can partner with, especially because we feel so alone, and in our PTSD behavior, we're so isolating so often. So I like the idea of building a connection with someone who gets where we are and understands, okay, let me help you modulate not only your response to every situation, but your approach to this particular problem. Dr. Courtois, where were you when I needed you?
Well, I was in the trenches. I've been in there for a long time, but I'm so sorry that it took you a long time to find, help that was helpful to you. And, that's still happening out there. So this program and others like it are so important, and what you're doing is so important to help other people to realize that they're not alone and that there are ways to get through this.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Go ahead.
I just